ChristianityTrinity.com.
Morning, everyone. Morning, everyone. Hey, that's better. That's better. We like that. Last week, we talked about obedience. If you remember, we're in this Things God Loves series. We talked about God loves obedience. And ended the message with a psalm, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. And I want to pick up kind of where we left off in that and read that psalm again. It says, "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me." It's a New Living Translation. But this is a psalm that upholds the value of integrity. And that's our theme for today. God loves integrity. If you notice, though, in this psalm, a big part of having that biblical integrity is connected with the idea of actually obeying the Lord. Right? So listen to some of the phrases that were used in this psalm. Obey his laws. Don't compromise with evil. Walk in his paths only. Keep his commands. Act according to his decrees. Learn what the righteous requirements are and then live by them. Right? All of these ideas are connected to this biblical idea of integrity. Now, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word tome, or tomim is the version of it here in Psalm 119, it's the word we translate as integrity. It refers to walking in ways that are blameless. Walking in ways that are blameless. That parallels, very much lines up with the first aspect of the English definition of integrity, which is this. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles or moral uprightness. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Heard a story this week about three boys who were bragging about how fast their dad was. You can tell this story is not about me, one, because I don't have any boys, and two, because there's no way I'm fast. So you can just kind of run with this. These three boys are arguing about how fast their dad is, and the first one says, "Well, my dad is so fast, he can shoot an arrow and get to the target before the arrow hits it." Second boy was like, "Wow, that's pretty fast, but my dad's even faster because he can shoot a rifle at a deer, and he'll get there before the deer hits the ground." And the third boy said, "Well, those both are really, really fast, but my dad's got both of yours beat. Because my dad works every day until 4 o'clock, but he's so fast he's able to get home by 3:30. Now, that story, you think about it a little bit, right? It doesn't say much about integrity, does it? Well, actually, it says a lot about integrity, but not in a good way. Not in a good way. Integrity is about living in a way that is above reproach, right? Now, I can tell you the number of stories, like numerous stories that as I was just, kind of searching internet-wise about this and hearing some things, I came across story after story after story about someone who would come and visit a church. And they would listen to the pastor preach, and then they would go to their job that week at maybe it was a restaurant or in a grocery store or a gas station, whatever, and the pastor would come in. And they would go to pay their bill, and the person was like, "Well, I'm going to slip them some extra change just to see how they respond, how they handle this." They wanted to know if he really practices what they preach or if the faith was really genuine. And now, fortunately, all the stories I read were ones where the pastor returned the money and passed the test, a test he didn't even know he was taking. The reality is we're all taking tests like that all the time. It might not be in that exact form, but everyone is watching us all the time to see if our faith is genuine. So we need to be people of integrity, people who are genuine and honest and have strong moral principles. So that's the first aspect of integrity. The integrity, just a quote, by the way, M.H. McKee said this, "Integrity is one of several paths. It distinguishes itself from the others because it's the right path and the only one on which you'll never get lost." When I read that quote, I was like, I got to find out who this M.H. McKee is. That's a pretty good quote. So I looked him up, and you know who M.H. McKee was? I have no idea. Honestly, like, there was no conclusive evidence as to who the person was that says it. So the only thing I have to go on is M.H. McKee is the guy who said this. Right? That's it. That's all I've got. But it's a really good quote. A really good quote. Integrity is one of several paths. It distinguishes itself from the others because it's the right path and the only one on which you'll never get lost. Right? So if we stay true, if we stay honest, if we stay genuine and walk in ways that are blameless before God, we stay on the path of integrity. If we do that, we'll first of all be on the correct path. And second of all, it's a path we're never going to get lost on. Right? So that's the first aspect of integrity, is about being or walking in ways that are blameless. Moral uprightness. The biblical word for integrity, though, also has to do with being whole or complete or sound. Whole or complete or sound. And that is very parallel to the second English definition that we have. Integrity is this, the state of being whole and undivided. The state of being whole and undivided. So in math, mathematics, there are whole numbers, right? 1, 2, 3, and so forth. But there are also fractions, right? Or decimals, depending on your love for math, how fun those were in grade school and so on, right? But there are fractions of numbers, 1/3, 3/4. Integrity is being complete and whole, especially in terms of goodness and morality, right? In other words, you aren't just going to be honest and display moral principles a fraction of the time. You're not going to do it when it's just when it's convenient or when other people are around. It's an all the way, all the time thing integrity is. And of course, we've often heard it said that integrity has to do with who you are when no one's looking. Right? It's that consistency. When we do things for the sake of appearances, we're hypocrites. We're frauds or we're fakes. And integrity means the opposite of that, being the opposite of that. We've got to be the same person in private that we are in public. Now, I was thinking about this in Scripture. There are examples of people with integrity, but one of the best examples that I thought of was Daniel. Right? If you think about the life of Daniel, like a lot of the other Bible characters that you read about, you're going to also read about some particular struggle they had in life or some shortcoming, which, let's face it, that gives us a whole lot more hope when we read about these people who had some problems and had some issues but still loved God and followed him. That gives us hope because we fail all the time. But Daniel, you read about Daniel, you know, there was like nothing on Daniel that you read about that was bad. Like, the Bible gives us zero dirt on Daniel. In Daniel 6, verses 4 through 5, talking about him, it says this, "Then the high officials and the satraps," which is basically the king's representatives, "sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom." They were jealous of him. They wanted him out. "But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.'" Right, so his opponents were trying to dig up dirt on him, but they couldn't come up with anything. Their only option was basically to make it illegal to do things that were required by following God, that Daniel was required of by following and obeying his God, because they knew Daniel wouldn't back off from doing that. He was a man of great integrity. And that very story, as I read that, also kind of flashed forward it and reminded me of Jesus, right at his trial. Remember at his trial, no one could come up with anything on him either. So they just made things up. And even then, those people that were making things up, they couldn't get their stories straight about it. Why? Because they had nothing on Jesus. And that's the way God wants us to be, to strive to be, whole and complete, full of integrity. So integrity is about having strong moral character, right? Moral uprightness, but also about being whole and complete. Now I don't know about you, but when you think about integrity and the idea of living with integrity, often that becomes like a target to hit or something to strive to reach. And then if we don't live up to that, well, I don't know, God's ready to disown us or strike us down with a lightning bolt or something like that. Now, that's in part because, well, life of integrity is a high calling. It's also in part because God sees us at all times, right? At all times. We might get away with something in this world that other people don't see, but you can't put anything by God. Right? In Jeremiah, there's a few verses about this that are just pretty cool. Jeremiah 23 and 24 says, "Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I'm far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord?" In Psalm 44:21, talking about God, it says, "Would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart." In Job 34:21, "For his eyes are on the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps." Right? So God sees all. He knows all. You can't hide anything from him ever. You might be familiar with some of these things, that these pictures or images that you may have seen on Facebook or whatever, but like that one, I saw that, right? I saw that. Signed, God. This one I also really liked. "Seriously, you didn't think I would notice?" Signed, God. Sometimes we think that God doesn't notice, especially when someone seems to be getting away with something wrong. It's often easier to see that in other people, right? But maybe God's giving them a chance to get it right. After all, Scripture says he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to eternal life. Right? We need to never forget that this right here, God sees everything, and he has a very good memory. Right? God sees everything, and he has a very good memory. By the way, you know who said that? I don't know. Tried to find it out. Couldn't figure it out. We're talking about integrity, so I want to just be honest with that, right? But again, it's a really good quote. God sees everything, and he has a very good memory. Now, certainly, because of all this, because God sees everything, and integrity is this high calling, there's this seriousness and this gravity that comes with that expectation, with that high calling for us to live a life of integrity before a holy God who knows and sees everything we do. That can be pretty intimidating. But the flip side of that is that there's some huge benefits that we gain by living with integrity as well. And I want to just point out a few of those that Scripture talks about. The first one is this: when we walk with integrity, it keeps me secure. Right? When I walk with integrity, it keeps me secure. Proverbs 28:6 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out." Right? It's the idea that when you're out of line with God's will, if we walk out of line with God's will, you're going to always be looking over your shoulder, right? Like, when am I going to get caught? When you are crooked, you will always be waiting for the other shoe to drop. But when you live a life of integrity, of spiritual integrity, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. You can walk securely. Second thing that Scripture says is that integrity guides me. Integrity guides me. Right? Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." Right? So integrity guides me. Now, if you think about this, how does integrity guide us? Think about this. When you live a life of integrity, you have a lot less tough choices to make. When you're seeking to be in a life, someone who lives with integrity, spiritual integrity, based on biblical values, a lot less tough choices you have to make. Because integrity will steer you in the right direction, in the way God wants you to go every single time. So for example, when you live with spiritual integrity, you don't really have to decide whether or not you should tell the truth. Right? It's not really a decision you have to make. You just do it because Scripture tells us we're not supposed to lie. We're not supposed to be deceitful, right? I mean, you know, thou shalt not lie. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So because Scripture tells us we're not supposed to do those things, we're supposed to speak the truth, there's not really much of a decision to make, is there? Another example, when you live a life of biblical integrity, when you're seeking to have a life of integrity the way God wants, you really don't have to make much of a decision about whether or not to get up and go to church. Right? There's really not a decision to make. You do it because integrity means not forsaking to gather for worship like the Scriptures tell us to do or tell us not to do. Right? When you live with biblical integrity, you don't have to decide whether or not to give generously to God's purposes. You do it. There's really not a decision to make because God's word tells us he loves for us to be generous. He loves a cheerful giver. Right? So none of these really have to be tough decisions because spiritual integrity is going to guide us to do the thing that God wants us to do. If we're seeking to live by integrity, not a tough choice, right? Integrity guides us. The third thing is that integrity vindicates me. Integrity vindicates me. And the word vindicate, I know there's different connotations that may come to mind for you, but it basically just means clears you from the accusation, right? It clears me from accusation. Psalm 26:1, words of David, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. The reality is that no matter what anyone else might say or speak against you, no matter what they might accuse you of, or no matter what accusation the enemy whispers in your ear, or no matter what condemning thought comes to your mind, if you are walking in integrity, the accusation won't stick. Right? It won't hold up. You will be vindicated by your integrity. Some other passages, and I'm not going to get into these as deeply, I just want to mention them, but some other passages in Scripture tell us this, that integrity can preserve my life. Right? Literally can preserve my life. Integrity brings God's blessing in certain areas of our life. Integrity keeps me confident before God. Like, I don't have to fear him. I can be confident before God. Integrity puts my heart at rest before him. Right? And the point is this, while there is definitely a gravity and a heaviness to the calling and the high calling that we have to live a life of integrity, there are some huge benefits to living that life of integrity as well, that God wants us to know and discover as we follow him. All right, so these were a few of the things about integrity that I really wanted to share with you this morning. And to be honest, as I was preparing this week, I had a lot more and was wrestling with that. And the reason I was wrestling with that is between the passages I was looking up and the stories that I was reading and thought these would be great to share. My own humble thoughts and insights, I'm like looking at it and I'm going, you know, on paper everything looks really good. This is some good stuff to share. But as the week kind of unraveled, I kept wrestling with this thought, and I kind of want to just make this our key idea for today is this. Integrity is really an issue of the heart. Right? Like, I can tell you a whole bunch of things. We can study it out. But integrity is an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. And it seemed like every day this week there was something that was going on in life that God used to just show me or remind me of the importance of integrity and what the lack of it can bring about. It was capped off ultimately by a phone call on Friday that I got from my daughter Emily, if you don't know, she's doing a missions trip for the summer, a missions outreach thing in Virginia Beach. And apparently, as she's there, one of the pastors in a church that they've been working alongside of was arrested and is being investigated because of some sexual abuse that was going on, even with adults who were on this trip. It affected their very team leaders who were being groomed by this man who is a sexual predator. And it all came out this week. It all got discovered this week. So it caused this devastation for her personally, and that your heart goes out to your daughter. And I'm sure most of you who know her would feel the same, and just, I know that we're supporting her as a church and you guys are supporting her individually in doing this, but you know, just such a difficult thing for her to personally go through, but she's just barely touched by this thing. You know, her friends as leaders who were affected, and the church that is dealing with all this fallout, and the victims, of course, of this abuse, all because of this incredible lack of integrity. Right? Incredible lack of integrity. And so no matter what we would say about these things or what quotes, it doesn't matter if we aren't open to what it is God wants to do in our own heart in the area, right? So that's kind of been my prayer this week, is just that our hearts would be stirred to pursue this deeper level of integrity in our lives, because integrity is ultimately an issue of the heart. And so a few more thoughts about this that just hopefully can bring us to that place a little bit. In Psalm 26, David writes this, Psalm 26:2, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind." Right? "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind." And see, the reality is that a person who really wants to pursue God's will is going to be willing to lay everything before him. Right, to allow God to sift through and examine their heart, to reveal the things that need to be addressed within them. Because wherever we lack integrity, wherever we aren't morally upright, wherever we have weak spots and faults, it's going to lead to problems in our life. Right, and just as I was thinking about this, I came across this illustration. Right, this is a pretty ordinary piece of paper. Yeah, there's a little printing on the backside, but pretty ordinary piece of paper. Copier paper, what, 20 pound, 22 pounds, something like that. Right? It's nothing special, but there's a integrity to this paper. There's a certain level of structural integrity to this paper. Right? Like if you're trying to tug on it, pull it, break it, I mean, you could do it, you just pull strong enough, but there's a certain strength to it that is part of the way that it is put together. Right? But if I were to put a nick in it, maybe take a piece missing from it, what is that going to do to the overall strength of the paper? Right? It's now going to rip fairly easily. Not hard at all. And here's the interesting thing. As you guys watch this, you're probably going, yeah, I know exactly where that's going to rip. It's going to rip right there, right? That's the weak spot. That's the problem. It's true of a piece of paper. It would be the same thing with a piece of wood, a slab of cement. If you're building an iron structure, a bridge or a building, if there is a structural weak spot, the integrity is going to be compromised. And you can look at it and go, right there, that's where it's going to collapse when the pressure comes. And the reality is the same is true in our own lives. When we have a missing piece, when there is a lack of integrity, when there is a you know, a tear in our integrity, it leaves us vulnerable. And the area in which our lack of integrity is exactly where things are probably going to fall apart when the pressure is on. Because that's where our fault is. That's where we're going to break. And when I say that's where our fault is, I'm not talking about something that's an isolated incident, like a one-time thing. Right? We heard the words of David today in a number of these psalms. David messed up big time with Bathsheba. Right? He had an affair, then had her husband killed. It was terrible, terrible thing to do. And that tarnished his legacy. And yet David is still considered a man of integrity, a man after God's own heart. Because David's sin, as terrible as it wasn't some sort of pattern he was living by. It was just a one-time thing, a terrible one-time thing, but an isolated incident. He's still considered a man of integrity. But where David messed up this one time, his son Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines, like second-tier wives. Right? I don't know why anybody would want to deal with that. We all know, like, wow, marriage is hard enough with one of each of us, right? But 700, 1,000? But his pursuit of the women and sex led to idolatry because they convinced him to worship their false gods. And ultimately, it tore the kingdom apart. He had a fault, an area of his life where integrity was lacking. Not just a one-time thing, not just a mistake. There was a significant piece that was missing. And the reality is sometimes it might not seem like a big piece, right? In fact, we might not even see it at all. It might be like a blind spot to us, something we aren't very aware of, but it can lead to a huge problem. If I could share just a couple of modern-day examples of this, and I think of specific stories, but I honestly, when I say this, I'm not picking on one particular person or individual. I can think of many of these instances. I can think of the woman who marries the guy who isn't on the same page as her spiritually. They get married despite all of the warnings and recommendations of other believers who shouldn't be unequally yoked in that way. That's what Scripture teaches. That's what God says, but pushed ahead anyway, and eventually finds themselves stuck in an unsatisfying marriage because they aren't emotionally or spiritually connected. Yeah, she tries to be patient. She tries to win him over. She tries to get them into counseling. She prays for change constantly. She tries to encourage him to respond to Jesus, but ultimately, he's not interested in making that change. He resents her for trying to change him, and he resents her faith. And he wants out, and so does she. I mean, she knew divorce is not God's heart, but this is the out, the opportunity, and so she takes it. Now, that would be a tragic and devastating reality for anyone. Heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, the whole world falling apart, right? But then a couple months later, after filing for the divorce, you jump into the relationship with another man who adores her but doesn't really love God the way she supposedly does. Move in, don't get married, live in an unhealthy biblical way with this new guy. Now, look, maybe it works out. Maybe they stay together. Maybe he will come to know Jesus. Maybe not. Once again, she finds herself in this relationship, in this living situation which God does not intend for her to be in. Not if she wants to follow Jesus and honor him. But he loves me, right? Well, sure he does. It's still not the relationship that God has in mind for you. It's the same as before. There's a serious fault here. It's not a one-time thing. It's a pattern. Right? It's not just a one-time slip-up. There's an integrity problem. Or, like a guy I know, again, this is not just one guy. This is many different people. Keeps going to new churches because when people find out his struggles, he bounces. Now, despite their efforts, they're willing to help. They want to see change. They want to help him work through these things. But to him, it's like, these are not big issues. I don't think they should be a big deal. I should be able to serve. I should be able to lead in the church. Feel slighted and betrayed when people challenge him on it or push. So, just leave. Go to a different church. Doesn't see the problem. He doesn't see the fault there. Right? There's a blind spot. There's a pattern. This is not just a one-time slip-up. There's an integrity problem. And I'm not sharing these stories. I know they might be a little extreme because they're obvious, but hey, we all can have integrity problems. We all can have missing pieces, tears in the fabric of our integrity. And integrity is really an issue of the heart. So what do we do about our faults? What do we do about areas where we may have a lack of integrity? Right, well, Psalm 139, let's go back to a psalm again, words of David, who says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Look, even though David messed up, he wanted God to reveal to him where his weak spots were. He was willing to let God search his heart and reveal to him where there needed to be change. I guess the question ultimately for us today is, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to let God reveal our faults so that we can be people of integrity and to grow through them? So maybe in your life, in my life, where are we dealing with more than a one-time slip-up? Where are there patterns where we're not following God? Where is there resistance in our life to what He wants to do? Where are the areas that maybe we have an integrity problem? And more importantly, even if we recognize that, are we willing to let God search our heart like David did and point them out to us so that we can allow Him to change us, to bring life instead of darkness and death in these areas of our life? I want to take a minute just to pray, and Haley's just going to play for us for a moment. And I don't expect this next minute or two to be a solve-all moment where everything comes to light in our lives, but I do want to give us the opportunity just to pray and ask God, would you please reveal to me if there are blind spots, blind weak spots, areas that I don't see where you want me to grow and change and become a person of greater integrity? And maybe we can put that passage up on the screen, or at least the first verse of it. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Are we willing to pray what David proclaimed or what David wrote here? God, search me, know me. Show me if there's anything wrong. Show me where I need to see change and lead me towards that. Lead me in the way everlasting. Just want to give us a moment to kind of reflect on that, to pray for that, knowing that this is not going to happen in just 2 minutes here, but maybe throughout this week, God's going to reveal some things to us that say, you know what? Yeah, I'm starting to see this, God, because I'm open to what you want. So let's just take a moment in silent prayer that you can speak to God about it, and then we'll wrap up with the song of worship. I do really believe that as your people, as followers of Jesus, as people who love you, that we want our hearts to be in the right place. We want to be people of integrity. We want our hearts to be right with you. We want our lives to reflect you. We desire that. And yet, God, there are times where maybe we don't see where we're off-kilter, where we're just not in line with your heart. We pray that maybe as you've revealed things in our heart, even this morning, as the message was happening, or in this moment of prayer, in this time of worship, that as you've revealed things to us, that we would surrender that to you, that we would allow you to bring about change. But we also pray that, God, where maybe we're not seeing it, that you would slowly reveal that to us throughout the week. That maybe it's a friend who points something out. Maybe it's a spouse or somebody close to us who says, you know, I'm seeing this in you. Are you sure you're doing okay there? And God, help us to be open to what it is you want to stir up. We pray you would do this work in us. And we pray for a spirit and a heart that says, God, I want you to search me. I want you to try me. And I want you to know all my thoughts as you do. But also, where you see the grievous ways in me, the ways where I'm off, that you would bring about this repentance and that you would lead me in the way everlasting, that you would lead me toward change, that you would lead me back toward you. And God, as you do that, we pray that it would bring about great joy because we're reflecting a heart of integrity, a life of integrity before you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.